Hello, listeners, and welcome to the first episode of the Halsey Talks podcast, a collaboration brought to you by the students of Halsey Junior High School. This is going to be a monthly podcast with a different theme every time. Since this is the first episode, it is only right that this month's theme is beginnings. My name is Ida, and I will be your host for this episode, taking you through five different stories that all follow this theme of beginnings. So listen closely as Halsey talks. Our first segment is the beginning of podcast.
Podcast is a digital audio file made available on the internet for downloading to a computer or mobile device. Typically available as a series, no installments of which can be received by subscribers automatically. According to Wikipedia, podcast has its roots dating back to the 1980s. With the advent of broadband internet access and portable audio playback devices such as the iPod, podcasting began to catch hold in the late 2004. Today, there are more than 115,000 English language podcasts available on the internet, and dozens of websites available for distribution at little or no cost to the producer or listener. According to a survey in 2017, 42 million Americans above the age of 12 listen to podcasts at least on a weekly basis.
This segment is called The Beginning of Middle School: Expectation versus Reality.
All of us have experienced the stress before starting middle school, so we decided to get an inside look on what actual middle school students expected.
When you started middle school, what did you expect?
Some fear the worst, while others are optimists.
So let's get started.
I am Jane Schultz, and I am in 7th grade.
I am Colby Hayden, and I'm in 7th grade.
I'm Sam Krasny, and I'm in 7th grade.
I'm Taryn Kunduri, and I'm in 6th grade.
I'm Nathan Krasny, and I'm in 7th grade.
I'm Nike Alfandari, and I'm from 6th grade. Today, we will be interviewing some people from our school.
Okay, so first question. Did you expect popularity to be an big issue in middle school?
I would say no, because I actually thought to have things handled.
I would say yes, because it's like those middle school kind of shows that you would see. It's always about popularity and stuff like that. So obviously it gets into your head, and it's kind of like, well, popularity is a big thing.
I didn't think that would be an issue, because even if it was, I wouldn't really care about it, because I just...
Well, I didn't expect popularity to be a big issue, because I guess I'd just make friends, and I don't really care about that stuff, so it wasn't really a big issue once getting into middle school.
Yeah, I didn't think it was a big issue either, because I knew I was able to make at least some friends, and I ended up making friends.
I expected making friends and popularity to be somewhat of an issue, because I knew some kids would be able to make friends better than others.
So next question is, did you expect to have a lot of homework?
I did expect to have a lot of homework, because I knew middle school was super important for high school, and homework helps you remember things and from the school day.
So I expected more homework as well, because in elementary school, teachers are always saying that in middle school you would have a lot more homework, and it'd be really important also to go to high school, and you had to do your best, so I did.
I thought there would be a lot more homework.
I'm pretty sure we all expected there to be more homework, because all of our teachers probably exaggerated how this is really important. You have to really know your stuff to pass, and there'd be lots of homework and lots of stress.
I honestly didn't expect there to be a lot of homework, but I expected that the homework would be, the work amount in the homework. Not a lot of assignments, but more of the quality.
Harder work.
Yeah, the harder work and the more quality you have to put in the homework.
I expected there to be a lot of homework, because before school started, I read that there would be 3 to 4 hours of homework, and I was sort of scared.
So, next question is, do you feel like you need a change for middle school?
Definitely, because in elementary school, it does count, but not as much as middle school. In elementary school, you can miss a couple of homeworks. It won't affect how high schools or colleges look at you. But in middle school, right now in 6th, 7th, and 8th grade, you need to be on top of everything. Like, you need to do all your homework, score good on your tests if you want to get into good high schools.
The more change was into your attitude of more, like, you needed to kind of change your attitude to where it was more on top of everything, and you knew everything that was going on, and you weren't really that playful, just more serious a bit.
I did feel that I needed to change for middle school. I knew I couldn't procrastinate anymore, and I had to change my attitude towards the amount of homework I got.
I thought that I had to change my personality, because before I was actually like more shy and quiet, and then I decided to try new things and open up to new challenges.
I feel like for middle school, I had to like talk more in class and out of class so I could like make new friends, and also we get participation grades in class.
So I felt like I did need to change for middle school to like work harder, and because even if you miss a day, the teachers still make you like do the homework, so you really do have to like stay on top of your work and you can't miss anything.
I thought that we had changed for middle school because in middle school you have to stay way more on top of things, and if you miss even one homework, that's already 10 points off your literally.
Did you expect to have more freedom in middle school?
I knew that it was going to be different from elementary school, but I didn't think I was going to have a lot more freedom, because you're able to like walk to classes by yourself, but you're still with the same class in all of your other classes for the most part.
I thought yes, because in school, yes, but outside, my parents would probably think I would be more mature, but it's been the same since third grade. I could go wherever I want to go, but in school, I feel a lot more free. I can go in the hallways without a teacher leading me and my classmates.
Yeah, so I sort of expected more freedom because I thought we like would have like different students in our class for each subject.
Well, I did expect freedom, but like not a lot more. Just like you can walk to your class by yourself, and like there you don't have to walk with the whole class, but you know you still have to like, you can't run or anything, and you just have to like be careful and walk on the right side. So it's more freedom, but just like a little bit.
I really expected more freedom in that kind of sense, to be more independent, where we can walk from class to class without having anyone to look after us. But what I was expecting was being not a lot of freedom in the class, because in my elementary school, we had, whenever we would talk, our teacher would be like, this is not acceptable for middle school. So we all thought that it was kind of gonna be more strict in middle school.
I have one more thing to say about in class. You do have a bit more freedom in class in middle school as well, because in elementary school you had to raise your hand to talk, and it was like a pretty low chance that you would get called on. But in middle school, in a lot of our classes, we have this thing called accountable talk, where we can just talk what we want and like elaborate on other people's thoughts.
Did you expect middle school to be different, and if so, how?
Well, yeah, I did expect middle school to be different because it's not the same as elementary school. There's like a lot more kids, and it's kind of more difficult to make friends since now you're older.
At the end of elementary school, you're older than everybody. You're the best. Yeah, you're taller than everybody, you know. But then you go into middle school and then you're the youngest again.
Yeah, I expected it to be different because the rules are like more strict, and there's like different people, and like they have like you have to meet new people and make new friends, and especially like the eighth graders, they're kind of intimidating.
So I expected it to be different in the way that like we'd have more freedom, more homework, and like, yeah, like what Sam said, that like we went from like the oldest in our schools to like being the youngest again.
I expected middle school to be a lot different because for one, we would be learning new things, it would be harder, we'd get more homework, and we have to do more projects. And for the other thing, it's like really hard to be social now because your older friends, they aren't there as much as much they were, and it was really hard to make.
What did you think your first day of middle school was going to be like?
I thought it was going to be really hellish. Like, oh, I'm going to get picked on. I'm the youngest. I just got here. I don't know what's going to happen. But really, it was pretty okay because all of our teachers were making good first impressions. So they were nice.
Yeah, I agree. Like, I thought my first day was going to be like, I thought to myself, like, I'm going to die because, like, everybody, like, all my teachers from elementary school were saying, like, how, like, the rules in sixth grade are so strict and, like, you have to be ready for them.
Yeah, I agree with you because I also thought teachers are going to be really strict because in elementary school, a teacher said that, oh, we're not going to put up with that behavior, and once you get to middle school, you're going to get detention for that. So that's why I was scared on the first day.
On the first day of school, I thought it was going to be a lot more exciting than it was, but we really just went over a lot of rules.
Hi, I'm Barbie Patel, and today we're going to be talking about the beginning of middle school. Today we have Natalie Tam.
Hi.
Autumn Clark.
Hello.
Rajul Penker.
Hi.
And Rishabh.
Hi.
We also have our guest speakers, which are Natalia Santa Cruz.
Hi.
Daniil Nayazev.
Hello.
And Yoon Holly.
Hi.
They're all from 7th grade.
So, Natalia, I would like to ask you, how do you describe your first day of middle school?
My first day of middle school was really awkward because I didn't know anyone from my class. And I, like, really didn't talk to anyone. And it was, like, kind of, it was, like, lonely because you had to, like, walk from class to class. And then, like, you just, like, walk through the halls. And, like, you see a bunch of 8th graders. And it's kind of scary because, like, they're a lot bigger than you. And you're now the youngest person in the school. So it feels really weird. It felt really weird on the first day of school.
What about you, Daniel?
My first day of middle school was kind of awkward as well. Because I didn't really have anyone to talk to. I only knew one person, and that person wasn't really someone close to me. They were from my elementary school. And so I made 2 friends on that day, believe it or not. And yeah.
What about you, Yoon Ha?
Well, my first day of middle school was interesting because I felt like I knew everyone because everyone was just so friendly. It felt like I already knew them from like elementary school, but I didn't. And I had a bunch of people who were actually from my elementary school, and I just thought it was interesting.
Okay, Natalia, was your first day the same you thought it would be?
Yeah, I thought it was gonna be pretty awkward because I knew people from like different elementary schools around who were gonna come to the school, and I didn't really expect to be with anyone I knew. So yeah, it was pretty much the same as I expected.
Danielle?
It was the same as I thought it would be because I didn't really know anyone. And I thought that I wouldn't know anybody. And it was really awkward.
And you know?
I was actually different because when you like go on the TV, you always see those movies that are about how weird middle school is. And it makes like a really weird comparison to what actually happens in middle school.
Did you have any problems with your classmates / teachers, Natalia?
Well, not really. Some classmates were a bit problematic, but other than that, no. And teachers were really nice and friendly. They weren't mean or strict at all. And I really liked my teachers from 6th grade.
How about you, Daniel?
Well, I didn't have any problems with my classmates, but there was this one teacher who kind of despised me.
How about you, Yuna?
I actually thought the same because I had this one teacher who I will not name because I just thought that she would not be the best teacher because she was very mean, but I learned that she was actually a nice teacher.
So, Natalia, what is something exciting that happened to you on your first day of middle school?
Probably an exciting thing that happened to me was, I found out that the teachers weren't actually really mean at all. I thought they were, that's what I was thinking. And it was pretty exciting to find out that they're not, and because I was really worried that they were, and they're gonna talk how they're gonna give like a lot of homework and everything. So yeah.
How about you, Daniil?
Well, the exciting thing for me was when our homeroom teacher had us do like this scavenger hunt with people who have like the same hobbies and interests as you, and it was really fun because you kind of got to like move around the classroom. It wasn't just sit at the desk all day, and you get to know people and basically a little bit background information for them.
How about you, Yuna?
Mine was actually gym, because I honestly expected gym to be like doing push-ups over and over until you learned your lesson of not to start laughing in class, and yeah.
Natalia, do you like elementary school or middle school better?
I like middle school better because I feel like elementary school, you didn't really get to make a lot of friends because every year you get the same people and you didn't really get to make a lot of friends. But now in middle school, you have the chance of making new friends, and also you get a bit more freedom than elementary school when you get to like walk to alone to each class.
Daniil?
I actually like middle school better because it was more interesting, because in elementary school it was kind of like learning the same thing over and over again. Two grades you had to repeat whatever you learned. It was more of just like learn just this one new topic and that's it. And in middle school it was kind of more exciting as well, as you didn't have to like have your teachers just walk with you to this class and back. It was kind of really annoying in elementary school.
What do you think, Yuna?
I actually prefer middle school, because in elementary school we had to stick with one teacher for the whole day, and if your one teacher has a grudge against you or something, that really sucks, because then you will have a teacher who hates you for every class.
Yeah, I agree with you.
Yeah.
What is the most embarrassing thing that happened to you in sixth grade, Natalia?
The most embarrassing thing that happened to me in sixth grade probably happened in the first week of school, because I was like lost in the school. I forgot what class I had to go next, and since it was a big building, I was confused and I didn't really know my schedule that well, and it was kind of scary because it was like a lot of people in the hallways.
Daniil?
For me, the most embarrassing thing was kind of just like sitting down at the cafeteria table with all those kids you don't know, and you only have two friends, and there's just like 10 other kids at that table.
Yunha?
Mine was actually in gym. This was around the middle of the school year. It was my first volleyball serve of the unit. It was so embarrassing.
Yeah, those are really embarrassing times.
Yeah, sometimes in PE we also got embarrassed.
Yeah.
A lot.
Yeah.
And when you mess up, it's like the more embarrassing.
Mine is every time I got a question wrong.
Mine would be once I was walking and it was like the second day of school and I walked into the wrong class and it was so embarrassing. It was a seventh grade class.
I went into the wrong bathroom.
That is just so embarrassing. Do you like sixth or seventh grade better? If so, if sixth grade or seventh grade, then why? Natalia?
Well, I think for now I like seventh grade better, because I feel like for seventh grade I'm kind of used to like being in middle school now, and I kind of like know the routine and everything. So seventh grade is now like easier, and a lot easier than sixth grade. Once getting used to like going to different class and not being late to each class, so that's why seventh grade is better.
Daniil?
I like seventh grade better because we like learning more things. It's not just the same old boring things that you already learned. And it's kind of like more experience. You already have like this knowledge of the school, how to get there, the classrooms, and you feel like more confident in where you are and what you do.
Yoon-ha?
Well, if I was asked this question before middle school, I'd say 7th grade, because you know how in the movies there are all those bullies? But then I learned that 6th grade was actually better, was because I feel like I had better class and better teachers. No offense.
So Natalia, how do you feel now that you've passed 6th grade?
Well, I feel great though, because in 6th grade I felt, in the beginning of the year, I felt like the year was gonna like last forever. And then once, like after spring break, it started getting, like the year started going faster. And then, yeah.
And then you?
I feel relieved that I passed 6th grade, because once you get into like the middle of the school year, it's kind of getting boring. But then you have that 1 month, which is June, and kind of gets more interesting. But then it gets more boring.
And you know?
I think the same, because it just feels nice to move on from your past.
So in conclusion, we can all say that the first day of middle school can be nerve-wracking and confusing.
Definitely.
Yes. Yeah. So,
bye.
Yes. Amen to that.
This segment is called The Beginning of Memes.
The Beginning of Memes. From expectations versus reality to Baby Yoda, memes have definitely progressed from the 1920s. In 1978, Richard Dawkins wrote a book called The Selfish Gene and coined the term mimey and shortened it to the word meme to make it rhyme with the word gene. He wanted it to rhyme because memes work in a similar way to genes. Genes evolved into new types of genes just like memes. A fantastic example of this is when the Tide Pod meme originated. It started with people eating Tide Pods and it ended up going into short videos like movies and like with Tide Pods. He stated in his book, examples of memes are tunes, ideas, catchphrases, clothes, fashions, ways of making pots, or of building arches. Now on to the first meme.
Memes are generally thought of a recently relevant form of media, often being tied to millennials and Gen Z. However, modern memes can actually be traced back as far as 1921, when a cartoon was published in a 1921 edition of the satirical magazine The Judge, published by the University of Iowa. This cartoon bears a lot of resemblance to the current meme that's called Expectations versus Reality. The 1921 cartoon based of a very handsome guy and a very ugly pancake-faced person. One saying what you think you look in photos and what you actually look in photos. This is very similar to the expectation versus reality meme of today, where people compare what people think actually happens versus to what the reality of their actions are.
Okay, so in this segment, we're going to talk about the first popular memes. The first popular meme, the internet meme, is a very weird one. It's an animated dancing baby. Okay, let's talk about the first memes that hit it off and give everyone a good laugh. You probably know a lot of these memes. Starting off with the most popular meme, the success kid. Yeah, the kid who put a fist in the air in front of a beach and had a face looking like he accomplished something great. You ever feel grumpy sometimes? Well, this meme is going to express that feeling. The grumpy cat meme. The meme was so big. There's comics and books about that. Unfortunately, Grumpy Cat passed away on May 14th. This cat made a huge impact on the next generation of memes. The most popular memes are the Success Kid, the Rage Face, the Doge Face, Distracted Boyfriend meme, and it's still going on now. And last but not least, the Grumpy Cat. And there goes the popular memes. And now on to Free Talk.
Well, I've seen the dancing baby before, and I remember once when I was younger. Yeah, I saw a video of it, and it's literally legit just a naked 3D
1966.
It's
not naked.
It is naked.
It's pretty creepy. It's the same color all around, so I don't know what your definition of not naked is.
Okay.
But to me, he's naked, and it's so
It's actually so cringy.
It's so creepy, but I don't understand how that works, because I understand some weird memes like the Tide Pod Challenge that Stefan mentioned, because that's just something stupid. But this is literally a 3D, almost, at first I didn't even think it was a baby, because it legit is just a blob of pixels dancing, yeah, moving just, around a screen.
It's a 3D. It's a 3D model made by a university for like a science experiment. But they just somebody found it and made it into a meme.
But like, where did this go pop? Because how did this get around the world? Because like, was MySpace invented at this point, or did this just like
literally just MySpace a meme was invented after the dancing meme. I'm pretty sure.
It's literally just a meme in a black screen, and it's so scary.
It's scary. I don't even know how this gets around the internet at this point.
I don't know if it's scary or not. It's just like there.
It's traumatic.
It really just like spreads out very quickly.
So I think about the grumpy cat must be like a grumpy cat. But is he actually grumpy, or do you just pretend he's a grumpy cat?
It's not like he's not actually grumpy. It just his face is, they're like these type of cats, like the faces are, they look grumpy. It's like,
Yeah, they have like that black thing under their eyes. It looks very like.
But a lot of the funny memes of faces is just people accidentally getting the right frames of a person's expression, which conveys just a perfect, like, just a perfect face to be turned into a meme.
As Stefan and Q were talking about, memes in the old days are cool, but memes now are even better. As you see them today, pictures, videos, sentences, and even words go on forever and ever and ever on the internet. For example, boneless pizza, Snoop Dogg, and Doge, etc.
Start over.
Okay. As Stefan and Q said, memes are cool, but in the old days, memes are even better. When you see them today, memes can literally be anything. Go on the internet and you'll see one immediately. For example, boneless pizza, Snoop Dogg, and Doge, etc. are different memes in the meme world, pretty much. Picture memes are usually a word and a picture, and it's usually a funny image or an image that people might see hilarious or maybe just downright cringy. But even videos have just a video, a GIF can also be a type of meme, which is 2 or 3 seconds long, of 2 or 3 seconds long of just straight, like a funny video or an image, or even like an image crafted into a video. And at the end, memes can be anything.
Memes in different countries are different. For example, memes in New York are mainly funny. But memes all have one thing in common, that is they're all for entertainment. It is unknown why memes are different in different places. There are also memes that are the same around the world. Scientists called memologists try to research memes. Memes have special features that make them different. Memes.
So, I see what you're talking about, Kyle. I'm sorry to mention your name. So, I see that memes are more popular nowadays. Back in the days, they were not popular, but that was just the start. Now now revolution comes up now. People are more used to the memes because when person sees it goes all around the world.
Yeah.
So I kind of tell that you should also be
memes also have quite
You should say that how it's affecting the revolution, how nowadays are better than back in the days, how it became.
I think memes also have a large cultural impact and also political impact, because if you've seen over the years, for example, one of the most recent example is the Hong Kong protesters. They actually use memes of China and Xi Jinping and all those political people and they made memes out of them to make them look bad as a political statement to them saying, we do not like you, please leave our city.
And memes... some memes aren't supposed to be for a funny purpose. Some memes are supposed to maybe even get out a message, like as he said with the Hong Kong protest, to try to stop China getting more control over Hong Kong and their society.
Yeah, and all this information spread because of like many like meme platforms like Instagram. Like if you post something on Instagram, you could just share it with a click of a button and then millions of people could see it based off like suggested search on Instagram, and it's just like a good way to get the message out.
So on to the next part. these are the YouTubers who have memes, and may have one of the memes are supported to this YouTuber. So this is the first YouTuber. You may have known him. His name is PewDiePie. He's a second popular YouTuber. He is very famous, but sadly he backed T-Series in 2019, but he ended the war. But let me give you one of his memes. When Steven doesn't die standing right next to a creeper. Again, PewDiePie laughing in his mic. So this is another meme who's supporting PewDiePie. His name is Mr. Beast. He wanted, like, I think this was like a 2018 meme, how is he supporting PewDiePie has number one, but now T-Series number one. So I'll tell this meme. This man has done the most key pews at the top. It wasn't for him, T-Series would have passed pews long ago. If anyone deserves to be on a meme review, it's him, Mr. Beast, the cool guy. So you must have known this guy. His name is Jimmy Fallon. He's on a TV show. So let me tell him about your meme. You want to hear a good joke? My career. He's laughing in the New York stage wherever he performs.
Everyone has said memes have gained popularity in many platforms. One other platform is YouTube, where you can also get a lot of meme compilations. Also, internet and Reddit. Reddit is a good platform because many other people join groups and they will all share memes they have. And on YouTube, people post videos of good memes. In a popular way they've been sharing it is a playlist of songs used in memes. And it's all in the Instagram popular memes is comedy and culture. So that one of the comedy culture profiles have 14.5 million followers, 910 following, and 8,697 posts. And you can see these on the Instagram, YouTube, and internet and Reddit.
So my favorite meme site is Reddit, because I think that's a very good convergence of everyone's views and ideas.
Yeah, people join submissions to post whatever they like. They create memes, they post new things. Evolves.
I think Instagram is probably the worst when you think of Instagram, you think of like stories and Snapchats, I don't really think Instagram is the place where the memes, where kind of everyone converges to look at memes. I definitely think that possibly a runner up to Reddit could be Twitter, but for sure not Instagram.
I completely disagree with you. Honestly, if you could be watching a whole different thing on Instagram, and then one swipe down, it's like a whole like meme pages like just
more. Yeah, but it's the same on Reddit because like you can still swipe and you'll.
I know, but I'm not. Like he said, like it's not even like a runner up, but like literally a lot of people I know on Instagram.
Okay.
I do agree. Stefan. I do agree. So
Reddit are mostly reposts.
But saying it, so is Instagram. Both platforms are reposts.
But it's called in Instagram. There's meme pages who upload memes like basically daily and
yes.
Well, yeah, though they're reposts, but it just basically yeah.
Okay, so I really think that memes have a rich and diverse history, and as we've seen, they have even as they're beginning a long time ago. They have a very relevant presence in today's society of culture and digital connectedness.
And it really shows how memes come together in the real life and how popular they really sprung up from, as you said, in the 1920s to now.
Goodbye!
Sponsored by Halsey.
This segment is called The Beginning or End of a Book. Which is better?
Everyone, Alexandra,
heyo,
Tenzin,
hi,
and I are here interviewing Kate.
Hello.
So let's start with the questions. So what would you say is your favorite book?
My favorite book is Finale by Stephanie Garber, and it's part of the trilogy by Stephanie Garber that starts with Carnival, the middle is Legendary, and then the ending is Finale.
Mm-hmm. And what would you say is the general idea of the book?
So it's a romance / action and adventure book. And there is basically about two sisters and a mysterious man named Legend who is the owner of a magic circus.
Okay, so do you prefer the beginning or the end of this book?
I prefer the ending of finale to the beginning.
So why do you prefer it?
I really like the ending because in the end, one of the sisters, Donatella or Tella, ends up falling in love with Legend, who was actually Dante in the other game. And Scarlet, the other sister, ends up falling in love with Julian, who is Legend's brother. And that was really sweet. Scarlet and Julian end up reigning over the city in Valenda, where Carmel took place.
Okay, I get it.
Very complicated book.
Okay, so did the problem end the way that you expected it?
Kind of, because in the last book, the Fates were set free from a deck of destiny and ruled havoc and chaos over the city of Valenda. That was during Carvel. The whole point of Carvel was that Legend wanted to end the Fates and take over their power, and he needed a deck of destiny to do that. And there was this love triangle between Tella, Legend, and Jax, who is the Prince of Hearts from the Fates. And it was very, like, complicated, but I'm glad that Tella ended up with Legend and not Jax.
The ships would have been so confusing. Okay. So why is the end interesting and makes you want to read it again?
I really like the fact that Tella ended up with Legend and Scarlet and Julian ended up together, especially since in the beginning of the book, Scarlet was confused if Julian was the right one for her. And because she was doubtful that he might have gone with this other person, Nicholas Darcy, who her father bargained her off to. He sold her.
Basically. Hey, that's not nice.
But then Nicholas Darcy ended up dying because of the Fates.
Okay, so basically, was it a good ending?
It was very, like, complicated, but I did like the fact that Jax was still alive and that he didn't die. And I did like the fact that Jax and the rest of the Fates went to go live in the mountains, so they sort of disappeared from the plotline, which I think was for the better, personally, because Jax was sort of cruel to Tella, and he married her with magic without her knowing, so she was forced to sever the bond between them. So there was a lot of, and in the beginning of the book, Jax threatened to throw her out of a carriage to see if she would survive. So he's very, like, he doesn't really, sort of appears as if he doesn't care about anyone, but there is a rumor, and it is true, that he basically his power as a fate is that anyone that he kisses will die. But there is only one person that can outlast sort of his kiss, and that's his one true love, and it happened to be Tella.
Oh.
And she survived. But there's also this thing that the fates cannot love because they're immortal, so their hearts don't beat, but his heart started beating again when he kissed Tella. So, yeah, but he was kind of a cruel character throughout, and I feel like Legend was much better suited for her because they fell in love when Legend played Dante during Carvel.
Okay, so how did it make you feel?
It was very sweet. I like the fact that they fell in love, and it was my first, like, romance novel that I read, and I really enjoyed it. It was really sweet.
What about the end caused you to leave the book feeling like this?
I think they got married. I know Julian and Scarlet, pretty sure they got married. Legend and Tella will probably get married. Although at the end she did write him a letter saying that now everything's going to be boring because that's it. Like, they're going to rule Valenda and that'll just be it. But she wants to go on adventures. She's the adventurous type. So she asked him to seal her away so that they can go on more adventures.
Even though you choose to end, is there anything you would like to change about it?
Maybe like Jax to stay in the storyline. I'm not sure. Because he was kind of cool to tell her, but he was kind of sweet to tell her. So it was like back and forth. Yeah, I'm not sure. I really did like the ending. It was very sweet, but yeah, Legend nearly died, so that was scary.
What about it caused you to like the book?
Well, I like the fact that obviously they were very sweet, kind of the way I had expected.
So, this was one of your first romance novels, from what I can tell?
Yeah.
That's cool.
Is this part of a series, or is this just one book?
Well, it's part of a series. It's the third book of the trilogy. And I really enjoyed the trilogy. I thought it was very nice.
And was this the last book of the series?
Yes.
This ending of the entire series make the entire series better? Or do you think that another book could have made the ending better?
I would like to see another book just to see where everything else will take them and what will happen. But it wasn't like a letdown, but it was in a way. because the whole series was like so great, and I know that writing an ending to a series is always hard. The first book is always the best one. I did enjoy this book, but I feel like the first one, everything is just so new that it's very like entertaining, and then sort of as you get to the end, it's sort of like not the same thing, but the same characters and similar problems. And also in the end, with all the fates, it's way more characters to keep track of, and each of the fates has their own powers, so you also have to keep that in mind and like what they've done to themselves before. And also Tella's mother showed up, so that was very complicated, and they had to travel back in time, so very complex.
And just as like a follow-up question, because this was a series, do you think another ending, because you said it was kind of a letdown, do you think another book in another ending for a book in the series, do you think it could have been better if it ended with that book and instead of continuing?
I'm not sure. I really love the way this author writes, and she hasn't really written very many books. I'm surprised many people don't know about this series because it's my favorite series of all time. But I kind of liked how she ended it. It was a little bit of a letdown just because there was a lot of things to keep track of and people, and they had to kill the like one of the fates to kill the rest of them. There's a lot of things happening at once. Mm-hmm. And in the first book, it was from Scarlet's perspective. In the second book, it was from Tella's perspective. Mm-hmm. But in the third book, it shifted between Tella and Scarlet. So you kind of had to keep track of two separate storylines in your head when you were reading it.
So would you like to see it as a movie?
Yes, I've actually tried to go on YouTube and find it as a movie, and sadly there is no movie. I really, really, really want a movie.
Another follow-up question. Do you think that, because you said the book was a little underrated, do you think? You think it's a little underrated? Like a lot of people don't know about it? Do you think that if more people knew about it, they would also think the book, would you think that this would appeal to more people other than yourself and like different interests? Do you think it will appeal to them and would actually become a movie if more people knew about it?
Yes, because a lot of people, I ask them, oh, have you read Carnival? Have you read Legendary? Have you read Finale? And they're like, no, what is that? So I kind of have to explain to them, and it's a very complicated series, and you kind of have to understand a lot of different things happening at once, and it's romance, so if you don't like romance, you probably won't like it. But it's very, like, I love it a lot. Yeah, I just really like the way it's written. Like, it has a specific style of writing that I really, really like, so I would love to meet the author, if I could. Stephanie Garber, if you're listening to this, I really, really, really want to meet you.
And this is kind of not really about either the beginning or the end, but what age group do you, or, like, what kind of, like, what age group do you think this book would appeal to?
I'm not sure. I feel like definitely 13 plus, because obviously there's romance in it and a lot of like kissing and things like that. Mm-hmm. So definitely like 13 plus is probably like 13 to 16, I would say.
Hmm. One more question. What character were you the most attached to, do you think?
I really liked Tella because she was very adventurous, and the second book really focused on her, and the third book, like, although it was written for Tella and Scarlet's perspectives, I feel like Tella sort of, like, took up the majority of the book because she was the one that saved her sister from the Fallen Star, the first fate, essentially. So I really prefer Tella, and she's more like me because Scarlet more, like, is about, like, safety, and she really likes to, like, protect her sister, and Tella's the more, like, adventurous one. So, yeah.
So you recommend the book to whoever's listening?
Anyone. Read it. It's a great book. It's a great series.
Did the character, did Stella, you're attached to Stella?
Tella.
Oh my gosh. Sorry. So you said you're attached to Tella. Uh-huh. Did that change throughout the series? Or did you always stay attached? Were you always somewhat attached to Tella?
In the beginning, the first book, it was only like Scarlet. Scarlet was the one narrating it. And Tella wasn't really mentioned, only at the beginning, briefly, and at the end, like, she was the prize at the first carnival. Mm-hmm. Like, she found Tella. But I feel like the first book, I grew really, really attached to Scarlet, and then the second book, I grew really, really attached to Tella, and then since the second book was, like, mostly Tella, I sort of just was more attached to Tella. But the first book, like, definitely Scarlet.
I see.
Anyways, thank you for answering our questions. We hope to see you again.
Thank you.
Thank you for letting us interview you.
This has been Halsey Talks. Thank you for listening. We hope to be in your ears soon.